Lord, continue to open our hearts and our minds to your written word and your spoken word. Amen. All right. Why don't you turn to the person beside you and answer this question. What causes fights and quarrels amongst you? Just quickly turn to the person. Don't think too deeply. What causes, not between you and the person, well, it might be you and the person right next to you, but what causes you to have fights with other people? Quick answer. All right. Don't need to Google this one. It's a common thing, right? I want to make a statement. We all fight with people. We don't like to always admit that, but we fight with people. We have fights and quarrels. We like to hide behind words like disagreement, and disagreeing is one thing, but we all fight with people. All of us in this room could point to people we don't get along with very well. It might be your partner. That uncle that just says that silly thing all the time, or another relative. Maybe it's a neighbour who doesn't know where their boundaries... Is there like a Harley club going by? Seriously? That's awesome. I can't see through there. Anyway, it could be the neighbour who doesn't know where their yard finishes and yours starts. It could be the person that keeps stealing your ideas and getting credit for them. It could be a whole range of people for a whole range of reasons. But the truth is, all of us have people in our lives that we find it more difficult to get along with. And if I was to ask you why it is that you don't get along with them so well, you'd probably say the same thing that I would. We'd immediately point to the circumstances and we'd say, they did this, or they said this. Or they're not doing this. They stole my ideas. She won't listen. He broke his promise. She's just manipulative. And so on and on and on. And we're put into the circumstance and what's out there. Well, this morning as we continue to look at the book of James, it's almost like James is saying, okay, children, it's time to grow up. It's time to face the music. Be a bit more mature and face up to the truth that is within all of us. Take a look below the surface at what causes these fights and quarrels. And James this morning will take us deep if we allow James to. And I want to encourage you to accept the challenge, to open your mind and not close down either because of the current fights you're having or the hurts that you've got or because of the circumstances you're in. Because if you allow God to take this truth that we learn this morning and jam it into our hearts and our minds, then we will actually come to a better place in life where we could almost stop blaming others for our unhappiness or stop blaming others for our discontentedness. And the reality is, there may be people in this room this day who feel the pressure of our unhappiness and our discontentment because of the words or the actions that we have taken. So I want to encourage you, if you allow yourself to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit and leave here with a new perspective on tough relationships that might help you find a happier life. And I can even hear myself saying, but I would be happy if only they... James says, come on, Christians, we need to get past this. So what does James say? James 3 starts off by saying, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Contrast the two phrases here. Among you and within you. He says the temptation to think the reason that you have problems, the only reason you have problems relationally, is to think that is caused by the problems amongst you. He says We've got to actually look past that. That's part of the issue, but that's not the whole issue here. The problem between you and another person is not always and always as so much as what's happening among you, but part of that problem, in fact, probably the core of that problem, might actually lie within you. James says the reason we have conflict here can sometimes be because there's a conflict happening here. The reason we battle here, is because when we get under the surface, there's something happening inside of us. And we know this is true, don't we? Because who are the people that we often hurt the most when we're having a fight? The ones we love, the ones that we're closest to. They seem to cop it the most, don't they? I see this so often, and I wish I could explain why we hurt those who are closest to us. I don't know. Maybe it's because we feel like we can be more vulnerable with them. James says, I'll explain why in just a moment. But before we get to that, I want to just pause and mention something that I think will be so helpful to us. It's a hard truth to accept, I think, but one that I think will be helpful. You see, I'll use the I language here because we want to develop this I language, take ownership of ourselves. When I'm hurt and I'm mad at you, you know what I want? I want others to be mad at you too. Because that way it justifies my feeling. And sometimes we hide that by saying, well, I'm just going to tell this person. But when we tell that person, quite often our motive can be, I want them to be mad as well because that will justify my anger. They'll justify my hurt. But the moment I begin taking responsibility for my own emotion, I begin to lose the power of my story. The moment I admit that perhaps I have a part to play in this quarrelling, this fighting, and that I take responsibility for my own attitude and my own actions, the sad story I have to tell isn't such a sad story. I can't make you hate her as much as I hate her. I can't make you hate him as much as I hate him. We lose the leverage. And there's something going on in you like this, something that goes on in me that wants to take our story and maintain the rage, the attitude against that person who has hurt us and treated us unjustly. But when we own it, when we own our own self, that's when things begin to change. So the temptation is to take arguments and let them sit in the surface issue and just say, he said, she said, they did, they didn't. And James says, come on, Christians, you've got to get past that. Some of the fights and quarrels among you begin because there's something happening within you. And he goes on to give us the reason why we fight and quarrel. And it's the most simplistic answer that I can find, and I want to be true to the text this morning. But this is what he says. You fight and you quarrel because you want something and you don't get it. Bottom line, simplistic answer, James says. Now, I'll tell you, I don't need to hear your story. I want to hear your story, but I don't need to hear your story quite often. Because quite often when people come to others, they're not getting something they want. Isn't that right? I'm not getting what I want. You might deserve something better. That's not the argument, but you're mad because you're not getting what you want. This is a thought source of conflict. You talk to any angry person, I reckon they could tell you all sorts of things about what's happening on, but when you nail it all down, I'm not getting what I want. And James says if you're ever going to grow up and move past these things, you've got to actually realize that one of the reasons you are angry and bothered is because you're not getting what you want. Now, we would listen to that and say, oh, Glenn, it's not that easy. It's not that simple. And I'd agree. This is a simplistic answer. But let's think about being a parent. Anyone here got children? Put up your hand. Okay. As a parent, do your children ever fight and quarrel with you? Have they ever done that? Never? Never? Okay, well, there's a power issue there. It's real. We fight. How many children, kids fight over all sorts of things. Who's doing the top shelf and the bottom shelf of the dishwasher? Who gets to sit in front of the front? Who gets to sit in the front seat on the way somewhere? Who gets to play Dad's phone, Pokemon, whilst he's driving? They sort of, all sorts of things they fight over. And as parents, we can see that the issue is not this or that. It's actually, when they're fighting, well, you're not getting what you want. You want to sit in the front seat, but it's not your turn. You're just not getting what you want, and that's why you're upset. You don't get Dad's phone to play Pokemon. Oh my goodness, Pokemon is both wonderful and awful at once in our house. Anyway, there's another issue. Sorry, Vicky. Yeah, some of us are addicted to it. How many of you remember your children coming to you and saying, oh, Mum, Dad, I realise the problem that we're fighting is because I'm just not getting my way. How often does that happen? It actually might happen every now and then. It's not that she got one more lolly than me. It's just that I didn't get what I wanted. And as parents, we see this, don't we? We can see this happening. And God, your heavenly Father, looks at us and says, come on. It's not that he got the raise and you didn't. It's not that she broke her promise or is unreasonable. Come on and face the truth. You are ticked off and breaking your relationship because you wanted something and didn't get it. Face up to your part in this. Because when you do, your life may have the chance to become better. Why do you have fights and quarrels amongst you? Because of something within you. You want something and you don't get it. And he goes on to use some really strong language. He goes on to use this language and he says, you kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. He uses a strong word, kill. And some commentators are divided on if he means literally here. I don't think it's meant to be taken literally here. Although how many times have we seen people who's burning with rage that just, they feel like they want to throttle them. Has anyone ever said that to you? I want to throttle you. I'm pretty sure my mum said that to me once or twice. She didn't kill me though. But when we talk about killing here, I think what's meant is this. May not be literal, but how often have you taken life away from other people because you didn't get what you wanted? Didn't get your own way. How many times have you taken life away from your boss, your work colleague, your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, your in-laws, your parents, your friends, people in this church? How often have you done that? I know I've done it. And how many times have we burnt these relationships down because of the words we've used? If you want to know more about that, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the tongue and our words. And quite often it's because we didn't get our own way. I know there's always a but to this. But look deep within you. Why are we fighting about this? He then uses the word covet. The Greek word here for covet literally means to hotly pursue something. He says you don't get what you want and so you go after it. And you keep pursuing it until you get what you want. Or at least you think you'll get what you want because then you'll be happy. Then you'll find contentment. And we see this, don't we? We see this in our families. We see this in our workplace. We see it in this church. We see it in all the places that we are. And James is saying, come on, you Christians. It's time to grow up. Now, he's not saying don't engage. We know that from a couple of weeks ago. We'll get to that soon. But he's saying, look within. Look what's causing this. And you know what we do? And believe me, this is a we sermon this morning. This is not a you sermon, this is a we sermon. It's not a Scottish we sermon. It's a we. We all have this issue. There is something in you, like there is something in me, called the self. And the self always needs to be satisfied. And we think by feeding self, that one day it will say, oh, I'm satisfied. We cannot satisfy often this appetite by looking to others. How many times have you finished a meal and said, I am so full, I'll never eat again? Michael Bradbrook just raises eyebrows and says, yep, I've said, who's ever finished dinner and said, I can't fit another thing in, but that dessert looks really good? It's an appetite. The self is an appetite. And long before, and before too long, it wants more and it wants more and it wants more. And we have appetites for a whole range of things. We have appetites about reputation. We have financial appetites. We have acceptance appetites, financial and power appetites. And we think that one day we will stop wanting these things and we'll have a stop wanting. But the truth is, every time you feed your appetite, it gets stronger. C.S. Lewis says, a glutton thinks as much about food as a person who is starving to death thinks about food. They both think about it, and the fact that the glutton has more than anybody doesn't say, I have had enough. We sort of get tricked by ourselves to think that if I can just get from this person what I think I need, then I'll be happy and content. Then the world will be right. Then everything will be just fine. But the dirty secret that I don't like to admit is, at the end of the day, you will never get from me everything that I think I want and I need. And I will never get from you everything that I think I want and I need to be happy. Which means we'll still quarrel and blame others for our unhappiness. And quite often the reason we say, the reason I am unhappy is because of you. If you did these five things for me, then I'd be happy. Think the ABC 1-2-3 five-step program works for everything? And what we tend to do is we squeeze all we can out of people and environments, and it's still not enough. If only they would, then I would be happy. I mean, perhaps there's people here this morning that have felt the squeeze from you or from me. I'm not saying there shouldn't be expectations in relationships. Every relationship has a set of expectations. Otherwise, it's not a relationship at all. And they might be spoken or unspoken, but every relationship has expectations. James is saying, though, when it comes to fighting and quarreling, you've got to grow up. And so James says this in his normal manner, which is just straightforward, black and white, smack you in the face. And then he gives you a solution. He says, you fight and you quarrel. And I think there is a by the way between these two sentences. I'm not going to add to scripture, but I think you fight and you quarrel. But by the way, you do not have because you do not ask God. He says, by the way, Christians, have you asked God for your happiness instead of trying to find it elsewhere? Have you ever thought of getting on your knees to say, God, I am so unhappy. Can you please make me happy again? Instead of saying, you're making me unhappy. If only you would make me happy, then everything would be okay. Because the reality is, I know I've done it, and I know I speak to people who say, if they, and I know darn well that at times I've done that and gone, have I taken it to God? No, because I want to justify my own thoughts. And I have to get down on my knees and say, God, you are the source of my happiness. From the very same book in James, a little bit later on, we read, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. James is saying your heavenly Father is a source of everything you need, the source of everything you want. So stop trying to squeeze it out of others. He says the reason you don't have some of this stuff is because you have not asked God. That means, next time your husband or your wife or your boss or your leader or your whatever it is in the community or in this church, wherever it is, instead of going in there and giving it to them, go to God and say, God, I'm unhappy. I'm lonely. I'm discontent. I deserved that. I didn't deserve to be treated like that. Once again, they've taken my thing. My parents still don't have a clue. God, you are the source, not others, not circumstances. So I'm bringing this to you. I realize, God, that I'm angry and I'm not getting what I want. Will you help me through this? Now I know that this is simplistic, but I don't want you to miss the truth in it. Because we've all gone through these things about how do we handle conflict, etc., etc., etc. But don't miss the simple truth of this. Perhaps you need to recognize what is happening within you and why you're unhappy before you go off and start fighting and quarreling too much more. Now, I wish it finished there, but it doesn't. It goes on. And he says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. He says, you're in this circle, trying to satisfy desire that will probably not be satisfied by the person you're trying to get satisfied by. And when you come to God and ask for the new car or more money, or I need to trade her in for a new one, talking about the car, or better kids or friends, like any good father would, every now and then any good father will say no. Who has ever said no to their children? Don't put up your hand for this, but who said no more than yes to their children? It's a bit of a shame, isn't it? Because I kind of go, oh, I think there's so much more yes that's not actually stated than what we actually do. There's a lot more yes in us than no. Come to your Heavenly Father and say, I am hurt and discontent and angry and unhappy. Will you help me? And if God says no, at that point you need to make a decision. Who's in charge? And you bring things to God many times. He will say yes, but he will also say no. And we need to learn to take no for an answer, because who knows, as a parent, sometimes you can see bigger than what your kids can. And sometimes you see what they can't. And part of your role as a parent is to help them to see that. Why do we think it's any different with God? I think this idea is better than trying to squeeze your happiness out of others, who are never meant to be the central source of your happiness. Let me just take a sidestep here. Are we meant to be in relationship with others? Yes. Are they meant to be a source of happiness in our lives? Absolutely. We were created for a relationship between God and between others. But let's get the order correct here. I think if you try this process, if you look within and you take it to God, two things will happen. The first thing, and it's incredibly freeing, incredibly freeing. If you admit that you are mad because I'm not getting my own way, it will just change a whole lot of stuff in your life. The second thing it'll do is it'll mean that you're somehow finding a new level of relationship with Christ. Because in the no that you might be hearing, you may actually be coming under the lordship of Jesus more fully. Either way, not all of us are going to get what we want all the time. And James says, you know what? You need to grow up and deal with that. I'm really enjoying this series with James in many ways, and disliking it in others. Because there's nowhere to go, is there? Really? Quite often with our behavior, there's nowhere to go. James makes it almost black and white. Whereas we can go to some other parts of the Bible and we get to think a whole lot more and kind of go, oh, it's out here, it's out here. But James just cuts straight to the bone. Can I say that if you give this a go, if you give this a go, let me tell you what I think you will get. I think that every good gift and perfect gift that you actually need will be given to you. And at the same time, you'll be protected from those things which actually could destroy you. See, there's nothing worse than a person who lives in unhappiness because of something else. There is a disclaimer around all this, and you'll see this if you've read the notes for this week's sermon. I'm not talking about abusive things here. I'm talking about the everyday in and outs of life that we end up having fights about. Because who knows that most fights tend to happen over something trivial? Yep. You know, what's a classic one? Put the toilet seat down. We do that in our house. But most fights start over something trivial, but then it tacks onto something that is deeper within us. Why is this happening? If you go down this path, I'm trusting in God's word that you'll be given what you need to find happiness and you'll be protected from those things that aren't. What will you do? What will you do? Let's pray. Loving God, everyone here has probably heard of the way to handle conflict and the right way we're supposed to do it and the right way we're meant to say and things we do and things like that. But Lord, this part of your scriptures, part of your word this morning does cut deep. And God, I don't think this is saying that any of us are bad people or any of us are not loved or anything like that. I just think it's saying that we need to look within and recognize our part as to why we're fighting with others. And Lord, we do that here. We are human. We try not to, but we do. Would you help us? Well, Lord, would you help those who are currently in the midst of fighting or quarreling with others, that they might play their part? And would they lift it to you in prayer now, we pray. And Lord, the next time we do get into something that's a bit of a doozy, help us to think back to this particular scripture as to why there are fights and quarrels amongst us. And help us from there to bring it to you in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We talk a lot about genuine relationships here. And genuine relationships mean that we will genuinely relate with another. And these things will come up. Can I say very clearly though, a healthy church is not a church where there is an absence of conflict, but a church where there is a presence of a reconciling spirit. A healthy church where there are genuine relationships is not a place where there is an absence of conflict, because that's just not real. If there's never any conflict, then there's something that's just surface level about our relationships. But a healthy church is where there is a presence of a reconciling spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen.